It's great to have you here at COC. We're in the second week of a series that we're calling Bad Advice. And as I said last week, many of us don't necessarily want to come to church and get bad advice. And like, what's this all about? Well, here's the deal. I think that if we were all being really honest with ourselves today, we could very easily step outside of ourselves and look at our lives, kind of like, you know, this 20,000-foot approach, and we could view our lives, and we could see, you know what? It sure seems like there are some areas in my life that I'm following bad advice in. And we would be honest enough to say, that's an area, man, why did I do that? This just seems like I was following some bad advice in doing that. And that's kind of what we're talking about in this series. We want to talk to you about some really bad advice, and then we want to compare it in parallel with some really godly advice and see maybe how out of whack you might be living, and then also offer you some hope and some grace to bring you back into the right relationship that God wants for you in your life. So none of us, I think it's safe to say none of us, wake up in the morning and we think something like this: man, my life is just going so good. I mean, it's absolutely tremendous. It's great, and it's going so great that I'm kind of getting bothered by it, so I think I'm going to do something stupid today to jack it all up. Anybody out there say that? Yeah, none of us say that. None of us wake up in the morning, and when we think about our lives, is saying, you know, I think my life is just too blessed. I need to do something dumb today. I need to stop the momentum. Maybe I'll get addicted to something. I don't know. Maybe I'll start smoking cigarettes, right? Hey, listen, if I'm lucky, I might get lung cancer. I might actually die and not get to see my grandkids grow up. Right? Maybe I'll get addicted to some form of sexual addiction. Why not, right? So I could possibly lose my marriage and the respect of my children. Why not? Hey, I think I'm going to go out with some buddies this weekend. We're going to go to Vegas. And we're gonna place a bet on the game this weekend. No, and you know what? We're also gonna play in the Texas Hold'em tournament out there, right? And I'm hoping because my life's going so good, I'm gonna screw it up. No, you know, royally, I'm hoping that I can get into some debt. So four huge monstrous guys that work for a guy named Guido will come after me with baseball bets because of the debt I've incurred. None of us think this way in regards to our lives, because we're just cruising with Jesus. None of us say, hey, you know what? I think I want to become an addict so I can really mess up my life. But here's the problem. So many of us sitting in this room today, we are living our lives in such a way. We all are. Paul actually says something about the dangers of addiction if we can't or don't keep a close eye on it. And this is one of the most mistranslated verses in all of Scripture. I want you to pay attention to this verse. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. It says this: I have the right to do anything. And this is why this is a mistranslated verse. People read this verse and like, whoa! Yes! Freedom in Christ. Paul comes out of the gate and says, hey, listen, don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You got a lot of freedom with Jesus. You do. But listen to the buts. These are called the big buts of the Bible. Boom, 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 chicka, boom, boom. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. But, he says, not everything is beneficial. Then he says, I have the right to do anything. Once again, you do. You got a lot of freedom in Jesus. Praise God for that. But I will not be mastered by anything. And the word mastered in that passage means to be controlled by, enslaved to, or brought under the authority of something. So here's what that looks like in modern day language. I know I shouldn't overspend, but look at all the money that I saved because it was on sale when I overspent. I know I shouldn't look. Don't. I just looked. Well, since I already looked, I might as well look again. So what I want to do today, out of the gate, is this. Is I want to throw a hard, hard fastball right at your head. I want to throw a punch that I hope connects to your jaw, all right? And challenge each of you today to examine what it might be, that it, that thing that you might be mastered by. Now, let me shoot straight forward with y'all today, okay? Today's message was an extremely difficult message for me to prepare. Unbelievably difficult. Because God has been really, as I was writing this, saying, you better get your perspective right before you preach this message. Because I came face to face with what I've come to face to face with many times in my life, over and over and over again. So I can empathize. I can sympathize with you today. Right there with you. But something that has jacked my life up. So I'm speaking to you today with a very, please hear me, humble heart. A convicted heart. And I feel like I have a lot of expertise with the ability to give you the bad advice that I've followed many, many times. But with little credibility. So I'm just hoping that God will shut my voice off in your brain and the Holy Spirit will speak loudly in your life. Here's a quick list. Here's a quick list for you, okay? I'll start with what I'm held captive, I'm mastered by, I'm enslaved to. Food. Food. Now, as if that comes as a surprise to anybody today, right? Like, you didn't end up like that, you know, just out of nowhere? No, I didn't. And you know what stinks about this addiction that I have? I can't hide it from anybody. I can't, like, go over here and just, like, I wonder if they can see me now. You know what I'm saying? So at least my sin is out there. But many of your sins aren't out there. And they become more and more and more controlling. And they can even be more dangerous. They can even be more dangerous. And let me just tell you something, celebrators. Gosh, I wrote this message like 7 to 10 days ago. And the last 7 to 10 days have been ridiculously insane for me. I have probably been attacked in more ways. Now listen, I don't always eat the best of foods. But I don't overeat, believe it or not. I really don't. Many of you eat more than actually I eat. I get stressed and it leads me to eating. And I've been bombarded with so many things this week. So many distractions, and I know this to be a fact. This is exactly Satan working in my life saying, dude, it ain't worth it. Fall off the wagon just like you have, you know, thousands of other times. Just go do it again. And I have been attacked. 7 to 10 days have been miserable. But I stand before you at least right now with a little victory. I've lost 14 pounds in the last 7 to 10 days. Wow. Now, hey, listen. I may pass out today because I ain't working on anything but like water most of the day, just so you know, all right? But here's the deal. Maybe food is your thing, stress eating. And here's what I want you to know. I'm right there with you, and it sucks. It sucks to get up and not have clothes that fit. You know what I'm saying? I don't actually feel, I lost 14 pounds. You're like clapping. I'm like, who cares? I got like another 245 to go. No, I don't need it. I would be, like, you know, dead if I did that. But listen, I don't even feel better. I got on the scale today. I'm like, whoopee. You know, I'm just saying, because I still don't feel the way I need to feel. It's enslaving. It's holding me captive. I'm in bondage by. All right, enough of me. Whew. How about you? Maybe it's caffeine. What? Caffeine? That's not bad. Tell Starbucks it's not bad. Because you've been investing in those CEOs' kids' futures for like the last 25 years. I don't even drink coffee. Yeah, but you drink power drinks like they're going out of style. You drink Coke. Gosh, how many of you can't do without your Coke every day? Caffeine. Maybe it's nicotine. Maybe it's smoking. Maybe it's chewing. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's vaping. Whoa, the new crave today, vaping. Vaping's not bad. If it has nicotine in it, that can be addictive. Nicotine, man, I was held captive to chewing tobacco for several years of my life. Whew. Talk about having to give something up that was hard. Pornography. That wasn't number four. Actually, number four was drugs. Yeah, I'm talking to some people here today that have troubles. You're enslaved to marijuana, painkillers, or harder core drugs. Pornography is number five. Sex. Some people are addicted to sex. You can't get enough of it with your wife, so you're going to pornography or you're going somewhere else. Or vice versa, husband or wife. Here's one that'll sting. Social media. I think every single teenager in the world is addicted to social media. Come on. I think every adult in many, many states are addicted to social media. It's not just our teenagers. Social media, many of us are in denial with it. I'm not on it that long. Are you on it as long as you are with spending time with Jesus in the day? Shopping. For all the guys out there, this one's for you. Overspending. Debt. I've heard this before, even with our giving. Man, Pastor Josh, I would love to give to the church, but I can't. You are enslaved and you are mastered by something. That is why you are unable to be generous the way that God has called you to be generous. Appearance, personal image. Many of us are addicted to that. Work. I'm betting I'm speaking to some people out there that are addicted and are workaholics. Now, I know some of those may have hit home and they have hurt a little. Trust me, as I already shared in writing this message, I had to take a long, hard look at my own life. But if we're ever going to do something about it, I do know from past experience in the areas of my life, we have to acknowledge what it is that has a stronghold in our life. What it is. So I'm going to do the best I can today, full well knowing that I am right there with you in my life to share with you what God has for you to hear today. All right? So here's one thing. Here's one thing out of the gate before I give you some bad advice. One thing that God's very clearly said to me in preparation of this message. Please don't miss this. Not recognizing what you're addicted to is often a symptom of the real problem. Not recognizing what you're addicted to is often a symptom of the real problem. Addiction, here's what you need to understand. Addiction is also manifested as a form of idolatry in our lives. And that means this, that we're putting that addiction, that need, that I can't live without, in the place of where God should be in our life. And it often becomes a substitute for God, a place where we most definitely need God in our lives in that area. And if we're really being honest today, I'll shoot straight with you. So many addictions that we do struggle with today, some of them can kind of seem neutral. Take mine, for example, food. We have to have food to survive, correct? So we write that off in our brains as, I gotta have it. But when it becomes something that I can't survive without it, then that's an addiction. I need it to survive. Precious. Food isn't bad, but I can't survive without it. Being able to cope with the stress of my everyday life. And I've transplanted that in my life where a place that God assures me victory if I would just plug into it. I've often used it as a replacement of where God should be. So here's what I'm learning myself when it comes to my addiction food is this. It essentially becomes what I'm seeking to find to fulfill my life with what only God can provide. With what only God can provide. And here's what that means, at least what I'm discovering. When I want peace for my chaotic life, and it's chaotic, When I want peace from the pressures of pastoring a church, when I want peace from the anxiety that comes from being a godly husband, when I want peace from the stress that raising children and being a good and godly father looks like with my kids, here's what's happening. I'm going to the wrong place to find that peace. When I full well know that my Bible says my God has the ability to supply me with a peace that passes the need for all understanding. And you know what drives me more nuts than anything else? I can do this in many, many areas of my life, but this seems to be the one. And you may be in the same boat. You can do it in many, many areas, but this seems to be the one. And all it's doing is it's holding us back from going to where God wants us to go. I'm not fully being used by God. And I don't know about you, but when I think about it like that, that bothers me. That bothers me that I'm not being used to my full potential. And our spiritual enemy loves to tie us up into bondage, causing us to worship something else, our need for something else, than truly pursuing God. He does. So, with that said, I'm going to give you some bad advice today. And once again, if you weren't here last week, I just want you to know up front, this is kind of a sarcastic message. Every message in this series is going to be a little sarcastic because we're going to give you bad advice. And you'll be like, yeah, duh. Well, yeah, duh, we're all doing it. Does that make sense? And that's what the goal is to kind of expose and bring to light the bad advice we're following in these particular four areas that we're talking about in this series. So I just want you to know that. So I'm going to give you some really bad advice when it comes to becoming an addict. It's something, listen, that I said, I've been falling for a long time. So I'm really good at this stuff, really good. These were easy for me to come up with, really easy. All right, I've become brilliant with these areas. Number one, don't ever admit that you have a problem. Don't do it. Don't believe Jeremiah 3:13 where it says, acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. Seriously, friends, if you want to become an addict, trust me, I'm there. Don't ever acknowledge that you have a problem if you want to become an addict. Keep telling yourself things like this. I might have a problem, but here's the deal. I know I could quit anytime that I wanted to. Something like this. This doesn't really have power over me, even though I've tried this for years and years and years and years and not gotten victory in it. Trust yourself and keep telling yourself that you don't have a problem. I've been telling myself this for years. I'm good at this. I've been following this bad advice to a T. This message is great so far, isn't it? Okay. Number two piece of bad advice if you want to become an addict. And this goes for everybody. Listen, I told you last week, and I'm admitting, I'm going on the sacrificial table today, and I got no problem doing that because I couldn't stand up here and preach this to you if I didn't. Okay? But listen, this is also some forewarning. Some of you may have your lives great and going good. This is a great message for teenagers to pay attention to because you may not be in that area, but you're dabbling with different things in your life that will lead you to an addiction. It'll lead you to a roads out, and you keep ignoring that along the way. You're going to become an addict someday, guaranteed. It'll happen. Here's number two. Do everything you can to keep satisfying your fleshly desires. Do everything you can to keep satisfying your fleshly desires. Galatians 5, 16 through 17 says this. So I say, walk by the Spirit. When you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with one another. So that you are not to do whatever you want. Now, this is hard, isn't it? This is really hard because we may got it together in some other area of our life, but this area that we're just falling apart in. Listen, let me just give you some words of encouragement right now. If you're struggling with an addiction, it's normal. You're like, but I've known Jesus for this many years in my life or that or whatever. I feel like I'm strong in this area. Listen, what you're experiencing is normal. It's because your spirit is at war with your flesh. Constantly. And guess what? It's never going to lighten up. You will always, always, always deal with it. Once you can master and overcome something, there will be something else coming. It's because Satan wants to defeat you. He wants to beat us down. And he gets ticked off when you master something, so he'll come at you with something else. Here's what God's revealing with me in my life on this. For years and years and years, I have made my weight a physical battle. It is not a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle. And until I can recognize that it's a spiritual battle, I will keep failing. And so will you with whatever your addiction is. You must make it spiritual warfare. And you know what's so frustrating? Like I just told you, I'm serious, man. I've got what I feel like a pretty good grasp on a lot of areas, a lot of spiritual areas in my life. But I'm losing the overall war because I'm losing this battle. It's hindering me to going greater with Jesus. If you want to become an addict, don't listen to what the Spirit keeps telling you. Ignore him and seek to serve the pleasure of yourself. So whatever that is, if it's porn, hey, if it's porn, you got a problem, make sure your phone, your iPad, your laptop, your home desktop computer, make sure all of those are unguarded. Make sure you have no form of accountability on them. Make sure no one can check on you any given moment on your search history. Seriously, if you got a problem with porn, that's how you keep serving your fleshly desires as opposed to what the Spirit wants. Again, these are just bad advice. You know, some really great bad advice for you. If it's drugs, make sure you're hanging around the wrong friends. Like we said last week, how to drift from God. Hang around the wrong friends. They ain't going to give you any good insight and wisdom. Listen, by the way, just so you know, some of you, we pray for wisdom. You can pray for wisdom all you want. You won't find it until you start looking for it. Because the Bible's very clear that you must look for. You must search like a lost treasure for wisdom in your life. You can't pray wisdom into your brain and into your heart. You must search. You know what that means? That means it's intentionality. It means not, I'm just making a wish to God to give it to me. You have to search for wisdom in your life. So don't, you know, and hanging around ungodly. Now listen, some people challenge you like, well, what if I'm trying to reach them for Jesus? That's cool. But what are you doing to try to reach them for Jesus? Are you doing the stuff that they're doing to try to reach them for Jesus? Because, hey, man, you can do anything you want in Jesus, but not everything's good for you. So you are to be in the world, but not of the world. Does that make sense? So hang around the ungodly people if your intentions are to bring them to Jesus, but if they're bringing you farther from Jesus, stop hanging around with them. If it's social media, like I said earlier, make sure you do everything to spend more time on social media than you do with Jesus in a day. If it's overspending, make sure you get a lot of credit cards so you can always, always, always buy what you want instead of what you need. Whatever it is, serve yourself before God. Take it from somebody who's done it pretty well for a long time. Here's number three. Keep your addiction a secret. If you want to become an addict, and a really good one, keep your addiction secret. And again, as I said earlier, this is kind of a difficult one for me. It's kind of right there, out there, right? Blah, right? But Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them, they're the ones that find mercy. Here's what I've learned about many addictions and working in ministry for 20 plus years. And again, this one does pertain to me in the naivety aspect, but this is for some other addictions out there that you know of and nobody else does. But here's what I've learned. Sin grows best in the dark. Sin grows best in the dark. If you want to become an addict, keep it hidden. Do everything you can to keep your stronghold from coming to light. And don't tell anybody about your struggle, ever, especially crazy Jesus people. Don't do it. Don't do it. They're the worst. They might pray for you and encourage you and maybe even hold you accountable. And you don't want that in your life if you want to become an addict. You don't. If you want to become an addict, you want good and godly people to keep you from what you idolize. You don't want that to happen. You don't. So keep your addiction secret. Here's number four. Depend on your own power and never ever depend on God's power. This is a hard one for me while preparing this message. Because I stand before you and say, hey, I've depended on my power a lot for many years. And what's, again, gosh, it keeps coming back to me, but man, I can depend on God in so many other areas, but this is the area. This is the area. Depend on your own power. Never, ever depend on God's power. All right, I'm just going to leave those at there because I think it's time that we move on to some grace stuff. Can I get an amen? Because so far, this sucks. I'm really needing some grace right now. So here's what I want to do in closing today. I want to share with you some hope that maybe you're desperately looking for in your life. Right now, because I was looking for some hope when I was preparing this message, and I said, Jesus, okay, I got it. I got it. Could you please give me a little bit of grace right now? And this is some things that he shared with me that I want to close with you today. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and they had some big problems. Whatever your problem is, whatever your stronghold, whatever your addiction, whatever your sin is, hey, man, it paled in comparison to what the Corinthian church and the Corinthians were going through. And he said this. He said, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The Greek word for power in that passage is where we get our word dynamite from. Meaning we have at the disposal to us as followers of Jesus, the explosive, miraculous power of God that's dwelling within us. The power not just to hurt our strongholds, bounce off, but the power to demolish and abolish any stronghold in our life. And the Greek word for stronghold in that passage literally means this: a prisoner that is locked by deception. And I said last week, how do you know that you're deceived? You don't. You don't have a clue. That's the purpose of being deceived. But a prisoner who is locked by deception, that means someone who is believing a lie. Furthermore, meaning this, the power of God has the ability to explode and demolish the lies of the spiritual enemy. And this is what we absolutely need to be reminded of today, celebrators. We have at our disposal some weapons that this world does not have. We have a spiritual armor, like the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the belt of truth, and the shoes that are prepared with the gospel of peace. We also have the ability to pray in the Spirit, believing that God can hear us in every way that goes beyond our ability to think, dream, or imagine. We have the ability and the access of children of God to enter into the throne room boldly, to the throne of grace, petitioning our God. We have the power of God dwelling in us, celebrators. I needed to be reminded of this in writing this message. We can defeat whatever stronghold or addiction that we face, or who it is that we face. Can I get an amen somewhere along this way? The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So here's what I've come to acknowledge in writing this message. With my addiction, my stronghold, my sin. First, I'll call it, it's a sin. Something is controlling me. Left up to me, I will keep struggling. Left up to me, I will continue to become defeated. Left up to me, I will be too weak. Left up to me, I will stay captive. Left up to me, I will keep losing. That is a proven fact. Left up to me. But because I am a child of the God that oversees all things and is in all things, I don't have to fight on my own. Because I have Christ in me, and that guarantees me victory. Victory. And victory doesn't come without a cost, like I told you. I may have started a journey of victory this past week and lost a little bit of weight. Whoopee! It sucks. It hurts. Today will be the greatest challenge, because I will go home absolutely exhausted mentally, spiritually, and physically, watching something that I love to watch and want to eat something that I love to eat. It's not easy. It never will be. So as I completed this message, I went back. And I looked at something, a little story in Scripture that gave me some courage to finish writing it. I went back to a story about David and Goliath. Maybe you're familiar with it. There was David, a little shepherd boy. There was Goliath, a massive giant. And all the Israelites, the Bible tells us, were sore afraid of this massive giant. They were cowering in fear. Until one day David shows up. He shows up and he asks a very logical question in this moment as he hears the blaspheming coming out of this giant's mouth, defeating everybody just by his mere presence. And David says, who does this dude think he is? To be able to stand out there and defy the armies of our living God. So David looked at himself, and David looked at the giant, then David looked at God. Then David looked at himself, then he looked at the giant, then he looked at his God, and he said something like this: what do you have, giant, that my God does not have? What do you, giant, have that my God cannot provide? Place your addiction there. What do you have, food, that my God cannot provide me with? What do you have, porn, that my God cannot provide me with? What do you have, drugs, that my God cannot provide me with? What do you have, debt, that my God cannot provide me with? You put it, whatever it is, in there. And you have to ask this question. You do not have anything, addiction, in my life that my God cannot overcome. You are going down today. Food, you're going down. Porn, you're going down. Alcohol, you're going down. Work, you're going down. Drugs, you're going down. Spending, you're going down. Social media, you're going down. Smoking, caffeine, you're going down. You're going down. Passage that I'm about to share with you have been my strength the last 7 to 10 days since writing this message and coming face to face with my giant. Listen to these. In Galatians 5:1, it says, it is for freedom. Say that word with me out loud on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. It is for freedom that Christ has set me free. So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. My wife passed this on to me this week. She came across. She said, this is good. I said, it is good. It's going in my message. So you're staring at your addiction, your enemy that Satan is using. Know this, Satan knows your name, but calls you by your sin. But God knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. do this with me today. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed and nobody's looking around. I stand before you, brothers and sisters in Jesus, humbled, and I'm asking you to publicly forgive me for not leading you well in this area with my life. I humbly admit to you, I have an addiction. I stand before you and humbly admit that I have all too often served my fleshly desires in this particular area of my life as opposed to seeking God's desires. I stand before you and humbly admit that though I can't keep this sin necessarily a secret, I have been extremely naive and stupid all too often in thinking it's not a big deal when it really is. I stand before you today, brothers and sisters, and I humbly admit that I have on more occasions than not depended on my own ability as opposed to God's ability to defeat this addiction. I followed some bad advice for a long time. So here's what I'm doing today. Anybody out there today, say, yeah, I got an addiction. And I want to start a journey to victory today with Jesus. Would you, all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just simply stand to your feet today? That's me. I got one. I got one, Pastor Josh. I'm right there with you. Me. God knows what it is. Not too many people know what it is. Would you just say, I got an addiction? How about this one? I got something that could be an addiction if I don't get a hold of it now. Would you stand to your feet today? Like I said, not admitting that you have a problem can be also a source of the real problem. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you now to do something absolutely outrageous. Just standing to your feet is one thing. But how about getting on your knees before God and confessing your stronghold, your addiction to God, repenting of it today, saying, I don't want this in my life, and plugging into the power of God, the power that gives you the ability to overcome anything in this world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We're going to sing a song, and I'm going to ask you, brothers and sisters that are out there with me, to come forward and get on your knees and cry out to God and say, God, please give me victory in this area of my life. Let me pray, and as I'm praying, you can come forward. Jesus, thank you for giving me the courage and the recognition of failing you in this area of my life. I followed some bad advice. It's been mine. I'm praying for all my brothers and sisters that are willing to come forward today to let go, to break free of the bondage that controls them in their lives. And as we sing a song, let them cry out to you, Jesus. Cry out to you, asking you and begging you and pleading you to make this a spiritual battle and no longer a physical battle. Move in our lives today, Jesus. Help us take this with us. Help us claim victory over you in the weeks to come. We love you and we praise you in your Son's name.